This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 109. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show where we focus on everything to do with fantasy books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, everything you can think of in between. Expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. We also add in our special guests and a few science fiction authors along the way, just to keep it interesting, but we want you to find what you're looking for and find your next good read. Kicking off things this week, I'll just kind of go in with what I've been up to. Last week, you heard me talk about the release of Huntress Scout, book 4 in my Huntress Clan saga. I'm back into focused writing mode because I'm really wanting to finish up book 5, Huntress Adept. I hope to wrap that up in just a few weeks and get it off to the editor. So we'll keep you up to date on that, but maybe look to see that maybe sometime as soon as the end of June, which would be kind of exciting. I'll keep you up to date and let you know as we get closer. If you haven't picked up the first books in that series, you can definitely do that. Head over and check out the entire series on Amazon or in Kindle Unlimited, starting with book 1, Huntress Initiate. If you want to find out more about what I'm up to in general or talk about reading other books that are in the fantasy genre, please do so. You can do that over at my Facebook group, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. We don't just talk about my books. We talk about all kinds of our favorite fantasy books over there. So I urge you to come and join the fun in that group. You can also find out more over at my website at jamiedavisbooks.com. Let's go ahead and get today's interview in. Martin Alton is a UK-based writer of fantasy and science fiction. He currently has 3 novels out, the Nandor Tales Duology, a sword and sorcery adventure fantasy, and Shadows of Faerie, a contemporary fantasy. He has just finished the first book in a new epic fantasy series that will be going into editing and publishing soon. Hopefully we'll be able to get to talk to him about that in this episode. In his real life, Martin is a drug designer for Major Pharma and holds a PhD in chemistry. He's also a cancer survivor. Here's my chat with Martin, where we talk about his books, his life, and especially the Nandor Tales book, Exile. Martin, thank you for coming on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's great to have you on the show today.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
So why don't you introduce yourself to our readers and the people in the audience? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Right. Well, I'm Martin Alton, and as you maybe can guess from the accent, I'm English. I live here in the south of England, and I grew up around the south of England, went to school in the city of Winchester, and then I went to Cambridge. So I'm really used to being surrounded by really old buildings. I've had an abiding interest in fantasy since about 1969. I started out writing as a teenager, I wrote a few stories. I always thought I'd go back to it. I picked it up reasonably seriously in the early 90s when I got fired from my own band from not being good enough. And I started out writing short stories, moderate success with that. You know, I've got like 25, 30 short stories published, one or two in good markets. And then one of them turned into a novel. I'd never really intended it to, but it just kept going. And so by about 2000, I had this novel, which is the first book of the Nandor series tales, with 2 books out at the moment. And I spent a fair bit of time polishing that and trying to get it professionally published. It took me 6.5 years, but I did get an agent. And by then, the market had changed. I got told by a couple of people high up in in publishing directors and that. So along the lines of, oh, this is exactly the sort of thing we were publishing 5 years ago. So there's a problem. Have a very good agent who wasn't able to sell that book and eventually tossed it back to me, said, well, you can find your own publisher if you want. And I sat on it for a while, trying smaller and smaller publishers until somebody bit. And at that point, I thought, well, actually, I probably better finish the sequel if I was going to write for this. So that sequel got written, and the two books came out with a small British press here and picked up a decent number of views. The sales, I have to say, have never been stellar, but a good number of people seem to pick up on it. And at that point, I'll write some more books. I might even write a third book in it. And then that publisher developed health problems of his own, because I've had health problems the last 5 years or so, and pulled out of publishing. I got the rights back eventually, did take a while, because he was dealing with his own problems. And so now they're self-published. I'd never set out to be a self-published author, but it's happened. I have another book out, which is not in this series. It's a contemporary fantasy, which my agent had also failed to sell, though we did get two acquisitions at one decent-sized publisher, but they said no eventually. It was too simple as something they already had. And so I've got two separate series. I've just finished writing another book, which I'm going to punt at my agent, and hopefully he's not going to make me rewrite it as many times as he made me rewrite the contemporary fantasy. And this one is epic, because the Nandor Tales books were deliberately written to be non-epic, which of course is the absolute opposite of what the market wants at the moment. And that's one of the major reasons that when the editors turned down the Nandor Tales book Exile, there were two things. One of them was, but it's not epic enough. It's a small scale story. The stakes are very high for the people involved in, but frankly, if the bad guys win, winter isn't coming. And the market seems to want, it's the Game of Thrones effect. They all want the big sweep, the King, fall of gods, death of kings, and the fall of empires, and that sort of stuff. And Exile is not a book like that. It's an individual adventure. It's more of a slow throwback to the sort of 80s and early 90s sword and sorcery adventures. One of my big influences, certainly throughout the 80s, before I picked up writing again, was David Gemmell, who generally writes following a small group of people against tremendous odds. But it's sometimes if the bad guys win, then yeah, everybody is going to be enslaved by the Dark Lord. But some of it isn't. It's more an individual quest. And this is much more an individual quest of a central character who gets involved in somebody else's problem, somewhat against his will, ends up having to solve this problem because of his sense of honor, and goes on his own journey of development. When you first meet him, he's a guy very, very much driven by revenge. He's got a list of people he's going to kill. And over the progress of that book, he realizes, or it is quite firmly taught to him, that there is more to life, and you will be a bigger person if you can step beyond your wish to kill people.
I think Aaron is a great character. I've started reading it, and I'm enjoying it immensely so far. I'm self-published, and I do just fine. And I have a feeling that I think big publishers have little idea what people really want, because there's plenty of people out there reading a lot of different types of books.
Well, there are, and of course they are driven by their marketing department. A very good friend of mine has a novel which came from a short story that we co-authored and that ended up selling to a magazine called Black Gate. I don't know if you remember them. And it was a lovely story. It was early back in probably 15 years ago. And it was a story about an elven bike gang in London. And it was funny and it was adventure and it was totally different to anything that was out there at the moment. The publishing director of a major publishing house loved it so much, she took it to acquisitions twice, and both times marketing said, "We don't know how to sell this." And 10 years before that, back in the 90s, if they'd said that, then they'd have just been collecting their redundancy check and more marketing people would have been employed. But the balance has changed. And if marketing don't understand it, they don't buy it. And so, you know, everybody's chasing the trend. And at the moment, it still seems that they want another Game of Thrones. And soon it'll be they want another Wheel of Time, because that's filming at the moment, isn't it?
Well, as much as anything's filming right now anyway.
Yeah. I have read the Game of Thrones books. And I think George R. R. Martin is a genius. I love the way that he handles so many different points of view and makes each character separate and having their own agenda. Having recently written a multi-point of view story with just a handful of characters, it is still really difficult to make them distinct, give them their own voice and agenda. And he's a great writer. And if anybody loves Game of Thrones, they could pick up Exile while they're waiting for the next Game of Thrones book. And they will understand how this world works. It's just a kind of an adventure of a small group of guys set in the world, not really that dissimilar, but without the threat from the north or the dragons.
So, starting Exile, and I'm excited to know there's a second book in the series out there. Aaron seems, like you said, flawed in his quest for vengeance, and the idea that he's really good at what he does. He's a good swordsman, better than just about everybody he runs into, but he doesn't want to get bogged down in helping anybody along the way to doing what he wants to get done.
Yeah, he's absolutely got his own agenda, because when you first meet him, he is in this back beyond town that he's been strongly suggested to go to by, because he got involved in a very nasty street war and there were a lot of people looking for him. There was a lot of money on his head, so he needed to be out of town for a while. And he really doesn't want to stay there. He wants to get back to doing what he thinks is important, which is working through his list of enemies. There is a second book. One of the frequent points that gets raised in the reviews, Mark Lawrence wrote a very good review of Exile on Goodreads, and he makes the point that more modern style fantasy books have a great deal more going on for the female characters. In Exile, there are female characters. They're a bit in the background. They're secondary characters. In the second book, they step forward. They get to do a lot more. So in that sense, it's a better book. I was a better writer when I wrote it. Exile is my oldest child, in a sense, and I'm still immensely proud of it. It is the first novel I ever wrote. I did my learning on short stories. They're a related craft, but not quite the same. And I think it came out very well. The plot works really nicely. And I did a lot of rewrites getting the character straight.
It's a lot of fun. And, I think our first books are like our older children. They're the ones the parents make all the mistakes with. But I think they're stronger for it in the end of the day. And I think that's the case with my first book. A lot of people, it's not perfect, but it's also got a certain level of passion about it that I think drives the story in a lot of times. People, when I've read their first books, I enjoy them. Even if I seem to think that from a craft standpoint, the second or third book is better, It seems to me like the passion in the first book is what brings me into the series. So I think there's a lot to be said for that out there.
Yeah, I think that can be very true. So, I mean, certainly Exile was written over the best part of 5 years, because it was always the project that I went back to in between short stories. When I was doing it, I regarded myself still as very much as a short story writer, and it was just this project in the background that when I didn't have a short story to work on, I'd go back and pick it up. So frankly, it has no right to flow coherently, because you know, chunks of it it was left for months between, well, one bit and the next. But hey, it works. It's got a whole bunch of subplots that actually tie up quite nicely. And it's better than I had any right to expect it to be. I'm very much a plot-driven writer. So, you know, as I have learned, you know, my plots do come to me fairly easily. The characters have to be beaten into me by multiple beta readers.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of folks... I know it seems to be that are you character-driven author or a plot-driven author? I tend to be a character-driven author. I write my books very much around having a very basic plot, and then the details happen because I do what the character would want to do. And I think for people like you, that's very different kind of writing style. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's... character always, you know, it is a struggle that they, you know, you start out with somebody relatively generic. I mean, I've learned this very much of the book I've just finished writing. You start off with a set of characters you know nothing about. And as you write the book, they hopefully start to come off the page. And to some extent, you think, well, no, he's going to have to do this because it's out of character for him to do that. And then when that starts to happen, you think, okay, this is starting to work. These are people who I can make believable. But the first 10 chapters or whatever, where you're just, they're a name on the page and you know nothing about them. I'm very much a pantser. I do not plot very much. I did always know what the end of Exile was. For the second book, Mandor, the end is quite different to the one that I had intended to write. And I thank one of my beta readers for that. It's also driven by the fact that I decided that I wasn't going to write a third book right then. Had Exile got picked up, there would be a third book and the ending of Nandor would be different. But beta readers, and in fact, alpha readers are important. When I was writing Exile, I had a couple of people who were reading it chapter by chapter as I wrote it. Okay, sometimes they were having to make months of chapters. And then they'd come back to me, we'd have a couple of drinks, and we'd talk about what was in that chapter, what worked, what didn't, and as important as anything else, storyboard, what happens next? I really enjoyed working that way, because sometimes I was sitting there thinking, well, what happens next? Well, we could have this. No, I don't want that. I need some inspiration. But when I had a couple of people to storyboard it with, said I could have that, I could have this. There's a couple of chapters that are in Exile that would not have happened without the input of these readers. I can tell you about them later, but I don't want to spoil what you're going to read.
No, that's great. You know, it's amazing how the creative process magnifies exponentially almost when you bring another brain into the mix, because it seems as if that creativity feeds off of itself with the other person, and you know, the two minds kind of come up with many more things than any one mind would have been able to imagine.
Well, it depends if you pick your collaborators well. I've written a number of short stories with collaborators in my writing group, and a couple of them have worked really, really well. I referred to that one that ended up in Black Gate and was the start of my co-writer's professional writing career. I mean, she's still out there. She has now got books published. And it was just such fun, bouncing ideas off. She's better at character than I am. And that worked really well. When it meshes like that, and somebody can come in and say, well, I was always thinking they could do this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, why didn't I think of that? And if he did that as well, oh, yeah, yeah, I like that. That's when you know it's flying. And you look forward to getting the next chapter in for you from your collaborator or the next draft and see, where have they taken this? Have they taken me somewhere where it feels like I've got something really interesting happening? And when you're with the right people, it always does.
I just talk a little bit about your short stories, because I think there are readers out there who really enjoy a short work from time to time. I noticed you worked with Charles Phipps, C.T. Phipps, on two of his anthologies.
And both of those stories are set in the world of the Nandor Tales. I've actually only got three stories. There's two of them from the Nandor Tales. I've got two. Well, actually, no, it's not true. There's a fourth one, perhaps, that could be, but that's never been published. I've never showed that to anybody. But yeah, there's two of them, because my central character, Aaron, from Exile, first existed in a short story. A short story ended up selling to Blackgate. It's called Either Circle of Hands or The Mist Beyond the Circle. And that's in one of Charles's anthologies. That's in Blackest Nights. And I wrote a couple more about him. There's one which is the old prologue of Exile, because my agent insisted that I change the prologue. So the one that you've probably just read is different to the original one. That original one was a pre-existing short story and is up for free on my website. So if you want to know exactly what Aaron was doing immediately before he had to leave town, and how it was he's got such a big down on the Saxish mercenaries, and not just because they betrayed Nandor, but because they actually were trying to kill him directly, then that story exists and is on the website. And then there's another story which made it into Blackest Spells, which is its second publication. It wasn't a tiny magazine. And if you read that and then read the follow-up book, Nandor, you'll see that I've cannibalized a major scene from that short story to made it into Nandor. But I've got other stuff as well. I've got some science fiction. I've got a bit of horror. I've got other fantasy stories. I've got contemporary fantasy stories. And because I've got a contemporary novel out as well, set around where I grew up, with real chemistry in it, because my real life job is as a drug designer.
Okay. What is it about the shorter format of storytelling that draws you?
Well, it doesn't draw me anymore. I haven't written a decent one for years. but initially it was, you could get to the end of it in a month or even a week if you had a good week. And it's a complete thing. And it's not as complex as a novel. It's a single plot line. And I'm a slow writer. The quickest I've ever written a novel is 2 years. And with short stories, at the end of the month, you've got something to show for it. You've got, maybe a second draft or something, and you can put it down and then move on. A novel is a really big commitment. The prospect of sitting down and thinking, okay, I probably have to write a sequel to the new epic fantasy. If I'm sending that to my agent, he's going to at least want an outline of book two and potentially ideas for book three. It's like standing, looking up at Everest and thinking, that's a very long way up.
It is true. I mean, going for a full-length novel for the first time is daunting. And even subsequent books
just happened.
Yeah. So when we're getting down towards the end, but I wanted to talk a little bit about how folks can reach out to you. I know you have a website, and you also have a Facebook presence. What's the best way for folks to catch up with you?
Well, they can email me directly off the website. They can type my name into Facebook and message me off there. I spend far too much time on that when I should be writing. I've got an author page on Goodreads as well, and you can ask questions on. You can directly PM me off that. I'm easy to find. I've got a very strange surname. Anybody you ever meet who's got that surname with that spelling is a relative. So, you know, Google's going to turn me up all over the place. There are no other Martin Outens on Facebook.
That makes life easy because I'll tell you what, Jamie or James Davis, there's a bunch of us.
I would imagine that runs into hundreds, if not thousands.
I would say so too, definitely. Martin, thanks for coming on the show. I hope people reach out to you. I hope that they take some time and look up Exile. Despite the fact that it's a publisher told you once that this wasn't something that people like to read, I can tell you honestly, I've enjoyed reading it. And I think other folks in the audience that like fantasy books will enjoy this book too.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so, and vindicates my decision that actually I was going to put it out there. So thank you very much.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focus community, both here on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode while you're over there and let me know what's on your mind. Also, while you're over there, don't forget to subscribe to the show. There are links right there below the audio player on the page, and you can subscribe to your favorite app for podcasting, whether it's iOS or Android. You can even subscribe to get updates by email if you want. We have amazing authors already on the schedule for you over the next few months, including our next special episode with a good friend of mine, E.G. Bateman. I know you're going to love it. She's a lot of fun to talk to. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books or my group, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and of course my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where if you want, you can get a free book just by signing up for my newsletter while you're over there. Whatever you do, though, folks, I want you to remember that there's a lot of things going on that you might be missing. So take a moment, take a breath, and watch and see what's going on around you, because you might see some magic while you're at it.